This evening, if you saw the handout, it consists of a bunch of links. And what I want to do this evening is just spend a few minutes on each of them, just to give you an idea of what are some of the resources that are available online for Tanakh study. Okay, so these are all live links, but I've already set them up, so we're going to save the time of trying to hook up now. So this is the first of them. It's the one that's called responsa.co.il. And as you see, it's a project of Bar-Ilan University. What Bar-Ilan University has done, and they started on this, oh, I say maybe 40 years ago, was to digitize the Jewish library. And they've added certain features like search features and links and the like, so that you can access from this single website the entire text of Tanakh, as well as the texts of several dozen major commentaries on Tanakh. So again, just to give you a sense of how this works, I've chosen the browse feature, okay? And if I go into Tanakh here on the right-hand side of the screen, and I go to Shemot, and I go to Perek Yod Bet in Shemot, then I get the text of what will be the Kriyat HaTorah for the first day of Pesach, for this Shabbat. Okay? So this is the text itself. And here we see links. That's what gives me access to a host of commentaries. It will show me only one at a time, but as you see, it includes Rashi and Rashbam and Ibn Ezra and the other Ibn Ezra and Ramban and all of the different Aramaic Targumim and the Abrabanel and the Orach Chaim. As you see, it's listed alphabetically, of course, with the exception of, you know, the major ones who are at the beginning. Okay. It then just proceeds alphabetically, right, all the way down to Torah Tmima and to Torah Moshe, which I believe was a 19th century Italian commentary. So this is one of its features. Another feature, of course, is the search feature. The search feature gives you the opportunity to look up individual words, or if you use the advanced search, the tabular search, you can even look up two or three words, and you can even provide variant spellings for each one, since sometimes you may not be sure whether a word is spelled with or without a yod, with or without a vav, okay? So again, if I were looking for this week's Torah reading for the first day of Pesach, I know that the first pasuk has the word mishachu. So if I take the word mishachu and I place it here in the basic search box, and I go back here to the library and I say that I want to find it in Tanakh only, and then I click on the search button, it tells me that it appears two places, the word Mishchu appears two places in Tanakh. I already knew one of them, right? That, as I said, is from the Torah reading of the first day of Pesach. And it turns out that there is a variant of it, not Mishchu, but Mashchu, that appears in the book of Yechezkel. What I do now that it's found the word for me is I click here, and it opens the entire text for me with the word that I searched for highlighted in yellow. Now, quite apart from Tanakh, as you see, it offers a wealth of other sources. Under rabbinic literature, on the right again, texts of Mishnah, Tosefta, the Talmud Bavli, the Talmud Yerushalmi, and various midrashim. It gives me access to Gaonic Responsa. It gives me separately access to Bible commentaries. It gives me access to commentators on the Mishnah and commentators on the Talmud. It gives me separately halachic works, a separate category for books that describe the mitzvot. That's something to pay attention to, because Im Yirtzeh Hashem, after Pesach, between Pesach and Shavuot, I'm going to be offering in this hour a class on Ta'amei HaMitzvot, on different rationales that have been provided for mitzvot. Mitzvot in general, obviously there'll be illustrations, but it's not as though I'm going to pick a particular mitzvah and look at all of the different rationales for it, but rather we're going to look at the subject of providing rationales for mitzvot at large. And then here is a separate category for books of philosophy and Jewish thought, a separate category for Maimonides, Rambam, and the commentators on the Mishneh Torah, a separate access to the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. And as you see, go all the way down till Responsa literature. The Responsa literature is particularly rich. That indeed was their purpose and the outset, which is why the entire project is still called, as you see on the top of the page, the Online Responsa Project. Okay. So, as I said, this is the Bar Ilan, the renowned Bar Ilan database. And I do believe that you can get access to it as an individual. I have access to it through my university library, but if I'm not mistaken, this is accessible by individuals as well. There may be some registration process, but I'm really not sure of that. Okay. The second item on our list for this evening was not opening. So I'm going to try once more, but I was not having any success with it. I will describe it for you if it doesn't open. No, for some reason, it's just inaccessible this evening. But as you can see, it's mgketer.org. MG is an abbreviation for Mikraot Gidolot. And Keter is something that we've encountered several times this year. It is a reference to the Aleppo Codex. And the Mikraot Gidolot Keter project, which is also a project of Bar Ilan University, is one that focuses, again, on the text of Tanakh and on the texts of biblical commentaries, but its most pronounced feature is that it provides the Masoretic text with a very, very refined apparatus to work with it. And what it also does is wherever the actual Aleppo Codex is available, right, which is pretty much everything from the book of Joshua on. Unfortunately, the only part of the Torah that survived in the Aleppo Codex was the very end, the last two or three chapters. But wherever the Aleppo Codex is available, if you go into mgketer.org and you open to a particular biblical text, there's a feature that allows you to have a split screen, so that on one side of the screen, you'll see the printed text, right, vocalized and with the Tamei HaMikra, with the biblical accents. But on the other side of the screen, you'll see that same text in the Aleppo Codex, so that not only can you verify that the text that they're providing you is indeed consistent with the Aleppo Codex, but you can also get the sense of just what this famous codex is like. We've looked at it on a couple of occasions, if you may recall. So unfortunately, as I said, the website is just not cooperating, with us this evening. We'll try it once again before we part company, but I've been trying it all evening with no success. Okay. The third item is alhatorah.org. Alhatorah.org is actually a private project. It's not sponsored by an institution. It actually was launched and is maintained by a family, the family of Rabbi Dr. Hillel Novetzky, and his wife also participates in it, and to the best of my knowledge, so do his children, who may do some of the programming, for all I know. This is a very remarkable site. There is an English version. I'll tell you what, let's look at the English version. See on the upper left-hand corner, if I click obviously on the American flag, I'll get the English version. So you can see what it offers. Now, it offers, again, a text of Mikraot Gedolot. It also offers the Daf Yomi, to those of you who are into that. It offers topical discussions linked to the weekly parasha. It offers the text of Mishneh Torah and the Tor Shulchan Aruch. Okay? I want to focus again, since our theme is Tanakh.
I'm getting this. Are people getting that?
Thank you. Okay, my fault. Okay. So as you see, I'm going to focus on the Mikraot Gedolot, and you're going to see a much more technologically much more sophisticated website than the Bar Ilan one. The Bar Ilan is quantitative. It has everything. Al HaTorah is more highly specialized, more qualitative. So here again, if I click on the Mikraot Gedolot, if you see at the very top of the screen, okay, this tells me the chapter that it opened to. And as you see, it automatically opened to what would be this week's Torah reading if it weren't Pesach. Now, it really doesn't matter what it opened to because I can demonstrate the features of it regardless. But nevertheless, since at least we've been talking about the holiday of Pesach, let's change it. So if I click on it, you see that I can pick any part of Tanakh, Torah, Neviim, Ketuvim, and then within that segment, I can pick any book. So I'm going to go back in the Torah to the book of Shmot. And in the book of Shmot, I'm going to go to Perek Yod Bet. And here on the right-hand side, you see the word Psukim. That gives me the opportunity, instead of scrolling all the way through, it gives me the opportunity to open right away to whatever verse I want to open. Okay? So this, verse 21 in chapter 12 of Shemot, is the first verse in the Torah reading for the first day of Pesach. And you may recall that we previously looked up the word Mishchu in the Bar Ilan database, and we found out that the way it's spelled, Mishchu, this is its only appearance in Tanakh. However, if we change the vocalization slightly to Mashechu, then there was also an appearance in the book of Yechezkel. Now I'll show you what this Al HaTorah website does to add to that. I'm going to click on the word Mishchu. Okay. Now, if you see the tabs here, see, it says Concordancia, right? It's a biblical concordance, and Milon, a dictionary. And here in the center, it already recognized the word Mishchu as being a derivative of the verbal root Mem, Shin, Kaf. Okay. And it tells me, it gives me these options. Concordancia tells me every place in Tanakh where there is an appearance of a verb or a noun derived from that same shoresh, mem, shin, kaf. So as you see here on the right, kol hatzurot, it tells me that in total, there are 36 words in Tanakh that derive from this shoresh. Right? And it tells me here, I can pick any one of them in particular to look at. So since we've been looking at the word Mishchu, that's the one over here, I clicked on it. And sure enough, under concordance, right, it told me that it's found here in the verse with which we began, right? Shmot Perek Yod Bet Pasuk Kaf Aleph. But what it also does, it gives me a link here. The link will send me back to the page that I started on. I don't need to click on it in order to do that because that's where I started. But if I had started elsewhere in Tanakh with a different form of the Shoresh Mem Shin Chaf, and this is the particular one that I wanted to look at, then I wouldn't have to go back to the top of the page and then go back and look for Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and then look within Torah, within Nevi'im, within Ketuvim, and then look within each book for the Perek, and then we'll look within each Perek for the Pasuk. All I need to do is click here on the link. And as I said, it sends me back to where I started. It didn't know that I was there already, but it sends me back to where I started. But that's not all that it does. Okay? It's not all that it does. What it also does, let me take a different word. Let's take the word lemishpachotehem, right? From the word mishpacha, okay? From family, all right? Now notice that that's a much more common word in the Bible. It doesn't appear only 30 odd times, but forms of the word mishpacha appear over 300 times in Tanakh. Now, let me show you what the next tab does. It's called Tarshim, which is basically a graph. If I'm interested in knowing the word mishpacha, is it a typical Torah word? Or is it more typical of the books of Nevi'im? Or is there, in fact, any individual book in Tanakh in which the word mishpacha appears considerably more or considerably less than elsewhere? So I click here on the Tarshim, on the table, and it gives me a table that shows me the distribution of the forms of the word mishpacha throughout Tanakh. And take a look, it's a significant finding. It tells me that 159, that's more than 50% of all the appearances in Tanakh of the word mishpacha are in the single book of Bimidbar. Right? Second to it is the book of Yehoshua. The book of Bereshit comes third. And that there are books of Tanakh, which you see the zeros next to their names, in which the word mishpacha does not appear at all. Now, supposing that I don't know yet what the word mishpacha means, so I want to look up the dictionary. So I have a choice here. My choice is to look it up in medieval dictionaries or to look it up in modern dictionaries. Now, if I only want to know what the word means, okay, and then simply move on to the next verse, I probably am not going to burden myself with looking through a variety of medieval sources. Okay. Particularly since the medieval sources that discuss biblical words are in Hebrew. And if I'm having trouble with the word mishpacha, looking up the word mishpacha in a Hebrew to Hebrew dictionary is not necessarily going to help me. So I'm just going to go straight to an English dictionary. You see here it's called Milon BDB. We've looked at the BDB earlier this year. It stands for Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the three non-Jewish biblical scholars who put this biblical dictionary together. And when I click at it, it tells me, here we go, mishpacha. N is noun, F is feminine. It's a feminine noun, and its translation into English is a clan. And then depending upon its different appearances, it gives me different nuances of meaning. Could mean a guild, it could mean a species, right? Et cetera, et cetera. So as you see, this indeed is a considerable resource. Now, what it also does is that it gives me, as you see, following the verse, in addition to the Aramaic translations, and you see every time there's an E, It means that there's an English translation available as well. So I can translate the Aramaic translation of the Hebrew into English. Okay. Sometimes some of the commentaries are available in English. Rashi is available in English. Okay, as you see. Rashbam is available in English. Ibn Ezra is available in English. Ramban is available in English. Okay, not all, but most of them are. And what I put up here is only a selection of the different commentaries that are accessible. If I go up here to the settings, you can see this is the complete list of commentaries that can be displayed on this website. The checked ones are the ones that I request to show up on an ongoing basis, but there is a way on the bottom to click so that they will all appear, and there's also a way to click to make them all disappear. Okay. In addition to this, okay, there is also a feature here, okay, on the upper right hand side, like a menu, that also tells you all of the different accessories that are available here. So here again, they show you all of the different features of Tanakh that are available, of Mishnah and Talmud, Halacha, Haggadah, right? And here is what they call Kelim, tools. We looked at some of them, right? The search tool, the concordance. And here's an interesting one. It's called Ma'abadat HaTanakh, the Tanakh Laboratory. And if I click on the Tanakh Laboratory, right, it gives me a variety of different things to do. I can see an analysis of any individual pasuk in Tanakh, or, as you see on the left-hand side, I can see a comparison between any two psukim in Tanakh. Now, this is just open to that, so I'm just going to click on it. Okay, so here you see all the two versions of the Aseret HaDibrot. On the right-hand side of the screen from the book of Shemot, on the left-hand side of the screen from the book of Devarim. And you can see that with this color coding, you can actually look and see at a glance, you can see similarities and differences between them. Without even the colors, you can see right away, first of all, that the version in Devarim is longer than the one in Shemot. But exactly where it's lengthened, within which of the Aseret HaDibrot, are there more details in Devarim than in Sefer Shemot, that you'd obviously have to look a little more carefully. But as I said, this is just astonishing. Almost every time that I use it, I discover a new feature about it, which of course is a sad commentary on me. It means that I've never sat down to go through this systematically, or even to use any of the tools that they make available for first-time users to learn all of the different features that are accessible. But then on the other hand, this way, every time that I use it, I know that I'm in for a pleasant surprise. Okay. Now, the next that we will look at is HaTanakh. .com. As you can see here in the URL line, hatanakh.com, as you see in the upper left-hand corner, was launched and is maintained by Herzog Teachers College in Gush Etzion. And it too, like Al HaTorah, is considerably more technologically sophisticated than the older Bar Ilan database, and it too provides auxiliary features. As you see, since they know, of course, that this is the week of Pesach, right here on the home page, you have an opportunity to look at a Haggadah. But again, since we're talking about Tanakh, let's just look here to the left of the Seder plate, where you see a book open up and in it you can see the pyramids. And the Hebrew on the bottom says, Al Izkur Yitziat Mitzrayim Batana. Where are there references to the Exodus from Egypt in Tanakh? But it's not just psukim. It's psukim, sheyurim, u'ma'amarim. Meaning that it provides you not just, if you want to make your own Dvar Torah, then maybe all you want to see are the psukim. If, however, you want to see what somebody else has done with these sources, right, then you can look at it either from the perspective of the teacher and see how a teacher has built a lesson around it, or you can read an article that appeared in a journal describing it. We'll just click on it to see just quickly what it provides. Okay. So as you see, here are all of the different sources that they provide. Midrashim, here is an essay on references to the Exodus from Egypt in Nevi'im Rishonim. Here is one that's specific to the traditions of the Exodus in the prophecy of Amos. Right. So as I said, there are a variety of different sources available here. And that, of course, is in addition to the standard features. The standard feature here says, Liftoach Tanach. What do you want to open to? So let's just simply open to what we've been opening all along, Shmot Perek Yod Bet. And here you see, we have the text here is the text as it was refined by scholars working either from the Aleppo Codex or those codices that are in the same family as the Aleppo Codex. And here, once again, beginning in Pasuk Kaf Aleph will be the opening Pasuk, as I said, of the Torah reading for the first day of Pesach. And here on the right-hand side, it tells you again, you can look up Targumim, the Aramaic translations of the verse, Parshanut, you can look at a variety of commentaries, and here you can even look at maps. I'm just curious, what map will they throw up here? Oh, it's a satellite map. A satellite map of what? I don't know. I don't know what this is. I would expect it to be a satellite map of Egypt, but I don't know what's going to happen. No, it wasn't a satellite map of Egypt, but I guess you can get it. Oh, here we go, Ramses. Yeah, okay. Right, Sukkot is a place that's mentioned in the Torah reading for Pesach. Okay, Pitom, Ramses. All right. I've never used this before. It's a surprise to me too. Okay. And here again, you get lists of articles that incorporate this text. Here again, you get a list of lessons, actual lessons drawn up by teachers that incorporate these texts. Here you get themes that relate to the text. Pesach, Korban Pesach, Matzot, etc. Here, it focuses on characters who are mentioned in this text, right? And finally, just, you know, they call them kitzarim. I guess these are just small notes or observations. Okay. So once again, this is hatanach.org. The next one on the list is, and we've looked at this before, this is 929.org.il, which also comes in both a Hebrew and an English version. We looked at it earlier on when they were still in their first cycle of going through all 929 chapters of Tanakh. Now, as you see, they're well into their second cycle, and they are in You see the upper left, 9-9 Genesis. And here you see that they're up to, well, this is up to chapter 48. I think today is technically 49. Does it say 49? Yeah, I can't see it there. I think right above 49, it says today. So technically today, but I don't know whether it's today in Israel or today in America. So that's why I thought that I gave myself a little latitude to consider 48 to be today's chapter, because it just happens to be by coincidence that I wrote something on Genesis chapter 48. So as you see here, Jacob takes leave of Joseph, Moshe Sokolov. So I figured, what the heck, why not open to this? But what this does is that, again, it gives you the text. And if I went to the Hebrew, it would give me the Hebrew text. But here you get the English text, the Jewish Publication Society translation. Okay. And what it features here is that on every chapter of Tanakh, all 929 chapters, you get a series of different perspectives, different people coming from different disciplines and with different personal experiences, right on different aspects of that chapter. Here, might be an interesting one, right? Why do we bless our sons that they be like Ephraim and Manasseh? Interesting answer, because they were the first brothers that got along. We don't actually know that they got along, but we reasonably say that there is no evidence that they were at one another as Cain and Abel were, as Ishmael and Isaac were, as Jacob and Esau were, and as Joseph and his brothers were. That's pretty good. That's a pretty nice idea. Okay, why does Jacob prefer Ephraim? This is by the late Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. So as you see, there's a variety of different information that's available here. Okay. While I am here, I might as well show you this one. This is not on the list that I prepared because, as I said, I put this in at the last minute to compensate for the fact that I wasn't able to connect to the Mikraot Gidolot Keter website. This website, as you see, is Da'at, right? That's the Hebrew word da'at, meaning knowledge, .ac.il. For those of you who are unacquainted with the abbreviations, AC is the Israeli equivalent of EDU, probably stands for Academy. So it tells me that this website is maintained or is affiliated with an Israeli college or university. Okay. And indeed, if you see at the top of the page where it says Da'at, right underneath it in smaller type, it says Mechlelet Herzog Gush Etzion. So indeed, it is affiliated with the same institution, Herzog Teachers College, that produces the HaTanach website that we just looked at. Now, this website was made primarily for educators. And that's why it has certain features that lend themselves to the use in a classroom more easily than those of other websites. For example, as you can just simply see, the first thing that it lists here is Ma'agarei Meida. That's simply databases. They have their own encyclopedia. Okay? They have their own encyclopedia. And as you see, you can search it topically. So if you're interested, for example, in medicine, here are all of the entries in their encyclopedia that deal with medicine. If you're interested in the holidays, okay, here are all the entries that relate to holidays. Okay, here's the one on Haggadah Shel Pesach. And it tells you, right? It tells you here at the beginning, it has like the table of contents of this entry. So it deals with the Haggadah in general. It deals with the portions of the Haggadah that appear in the Mishnah. It deals with, it offers you commentaries on the Haggadah. And then it has special subsections on the Manishtana, on the four sons, etc. Okay. So this, as I said, is just one feature, just one of the databases. They also have, they list here all of the different books that are, that have been digitized and that are accessible here. You can search them by the title of the book. You can search them by the name of the author, and you can search them again topically. So if, let's say, you're interested in, here's an interesting one, Tzava. Okay? So obviously, not too many books written on Tzava, on the army. But here at least, here is a book which is subtitled Shelot U'Tshuvot Responsa B'Inyanei Halacha B'Tzava. So somebody who is being drafted into the Israeli army, or somebody who's just interested in knowing what Israeli army's halachic practices are, can have access through this site to this book. Okay. Here are books that can be downloaded from the site. Here are journals that are accessible, etc. Okay. I want to show you something particular. Here under Yahadut, right? These are things that are particularly religious, okay? Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, Tanakh, right? Machshevet Yisrael, Jewish philosophy, as you see the typical image of the Rambam, Halacha, Tfilah, Shabbat and holidays, the calendar. Just want to show you this is a feature that I use very often. This is what they offer on Tanakh. Okay? These are not individual offerings. These are portals. These are gateways to more offerings. So let's look at the first one. It's called Shvilei HaTanakh, Paths Through Tanakh. Pirkei HaTanakh, Tanakh chapter by chapter, Perushim commentaries, etc. Okay, here is again the text of Tanakh, and this is called Iyunim b'Pirkei Mikra, analyses or investigations of biblical texts. Alfei ma'amarim, thousands of articles, memuyanim, arranged, sorted. Lefi Pirkei HaMikra, by chapter. If I'm studying, or if I'm a teacher, and I have to teach a chapter of Tanakh that I never taught before, right? And I want to see if somebody has written something about it that will be helpful to me. So take a look what I do. I'm going here to Torah. In Torah, I'm going to go again to Shmot. And see what I have here? Starting at the beginning of Shmot, Perek Aleph, and going through all the way till the end of Sefer Shmot, what I have here, and I didn't count them, but I have here are scores of articles which will tell me that if I'm teaching Shmot Perek Yud Bet, okay, and I want to see if there's something of particular interest in it for me, I click here, and it will give me the full text of an article that covers these two chapters of Sefer Shmot, the ones that are part of the Torah reading for the first day of Pesach. Now, if I don't know who the author was, right, I just simply have to rely on the people who maintain this website, that they knew who the author was, and that if it's included here, at least it's reliable, at least that the facts, what it will claim to be facts, are correct. In this case, it just happens to be that I knew the late Professor Moshe Arend, who was an extraordinary scholar of both the Bible and of Jewish education, and anything that he wrote is worth reading. And here, as I said, is the contents at the beginning, and then the full text of the article, right? Including, as you see here, a chart, and including whatever footnotes originally came with that article. And as you see, this is available, it's accessible for every book of Tanakh. It's absolutely incredible. When they say here in the opening page that there are alfei ma'amarim, thousands of articles, they're not exaggerating. And as I said, you won't find as many articles, as much material on the different subjects, on the other subjects, but there are in every different area and in every different field. Okay. I have but one more before we try this I just threw in there only because if you're a Daf Yomi person, or if you want quick access to a reliable English translation of the Talmud, this is the digitized version of the Sansino English translation of the Talmud. It's called halacha.com. And as you see, in the order of the Talmud, right, you can click on any one of these and you get a PDF of that. Let's just simply open to Brachot. And here you can go page by page, or you can scroll, right? You can use other feature or scroll, including the notes that accompanied the Sansino text. So I just, had that up anyway. Okay. The last one that I want to share with you is a generic website. It ain't Jewish. It's called BibleHub.com. And what this provides you is, of course, almost exclusively, but not entirely exclusively, non-Jewish sources, translations. So that, for example, if I wanted the translation, we've been doing, helps if I have English. Okay. We've been doing Exodus chapter 12. Was it verse 20? No, verse 21. Okay, that's the pasuk that we've been looking at. So I enter Exodus 12:21. Here, as you see, the verse itself shows up, so I can confirm that in fact is the verse that I'm interested in.
Not and visible here, on screen.
I'm sorry. Give me one second, and I will correct that. Thank you for pointing it out. Okay, see it now? Thank you very much. Okay, so I enter Exodus 12:21 here. Okay, and the verse itself shows up, so I can confirm that I'm entering the correct verse. And then I can do one of two things. If I know which English translation I'm interested in, I can get only that one. For example, I'm sure that it shall be, see, if I hover over KJV, it confirms that that stands for the King James Bible. So if that's all I'm interested in, I'll click that. Okay. Oh, where did it go? No. Okay. Here we go. Exodus 12:21, and here you see it gives me the text of that verse in about a dozen or more different English translations. Now they usually they are, with one exception, they're all not Jewish translations, but they do have the old 1917 Jewish Publication Society translation also. So as you see, you can go through all of these different translations if you don't know what they are. For example, let's pick the King James Bible, we know. I mean, everybody knows what it is. But here you know that there's a new King James Version. So you see that this is a link. If I click here, it will tell me something about the King James Version, the new King James Version. Okay? It gives me information about it as well. Okay? So, as I said, this is Bible Hub, and as I said, it's quite useful. Very often, if I'm giving a class, I want to show, to focus on a particular word. You may recall when we were looking at English translations just last week, okay, we looked at translations of the word chipazon. And we saw that chipazon was generally translated as haste, but one translation had it as trepidation, which would be a combination, I guess, of haste and anxiety. Okay, so when I'm preparing and I want to have access to a whole bunch of English translations at once, I will use this, the Bible Hub, because as you see, well, actually in the previous, as you see, it gives me access all at once to a dozen or more English translations. Okay. It actually also has a feature, as you see, multilingual translations, including here LXX, you may recall, is the abbreviation for the Septuagint. So if for some reason I actually wanted to see what was going on in Exodus 12, verse 21 in Greek, there it is. Pretty much the only thing that I can tell you about this is that this says Moses. My Greek is more rusty than rusty. Oh, Gerusai. Oh, yeah. Like gerontology, elders. Something about Moses, something about the elders of Israel. Okay, in any event, as I said, I'm just showing off. So this is, as I said, Bible Hub. Okay, so pretty much let's try once more. Just maybe we'll have some luck and maybe the Keter will respond to us. So, mgketer.org. No, sorry. Well, we'll just have to find an excuse to look for it on another occasion, even if we're not looking specifically at Tanakh. Okay. Let's see if we, what we have here, if we've got anything to respond to. This for me? No. Must be for somebody else. Okay. What does reshape my list of links mean? Don't know. KJV, Kiryas Joel version of the Bible. That's cute. An easy way to switch from Hebrew to English keyboards. I don't know. It depends on whether you have an Apple product or a PC product. If you have the software for it, then really the only thing you need to do to shift, just Alt Shift will take you between I can probably even show you. Let me see if I can get this up on the screen. Okay. Can you see this, the keyboard? Okay. So I have, in addition, see, Alt Shift takes me from English to Hebrew. I also have Arabic, right? But again, it's just Alt-Shift. As I said, but it has to be there. It has to be programmed to be there in the first place. If it's there, then, as I said, it's easy to switch from one to the other, but I couldn't tell you how to install it. But probably if you go on YouTube and say install Hebrew fonts for, and give the name of your, you know, computer or word processing package, I'm sure that by now somebody, or if not 10 different people, have YouTube videos for it. In any event, I thank you all for keeping me company these many months as we've taken this journey from the authorship of each of the 24 constituent books of the Bible through the process of canonization, through the Masoretic process that added first the vowel signs and then the punctuation marks. And we looked together at some of the principal medieval commentaries and modern commentaries. We looked at some of the major translations in a variety of different languages. And now we finally, since we're in the 21st century, took a look as well at some of the technological marvels that are accessible now for the study of Tanakh. I wish each of you and your families a Chag Sameach. And as I said, I'm sure that Rabbi Kelman will, by the time we get to the end of Pesach, will confirm it. But I think that between Pesach and Shavuot, I will be looking at Tamei HaMitzvot, rationales for mitzvot. You know, I think it's a decent lead into the holiday of Shavuot. And Shavuot, we talk about Matan Torah, and Torah is essentially, you know, one of the things that we'll go over. Right? The numerical value of the word Torah is 611, and it says Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. So Moses gave us 611 mitzvot. Two mitzvot, arguably the first two of the so-called Ten Commandments, were delivered to us by God himself. So 611 commandments courtesy of Moses, two commandments directly from God, give us the total of 613 commandments. So what we'll be looking at are the different approaches from the Talmud through into the 20th century, a variety of different approaches towards the question of providing rationales for mitzvot. And I guess since it's a Jewish subject, I suppose that I could subtitle it Rationales for Mitzvot, Is It Good or Bad for the Jews? Meaning, is it arguably better and more effective to know what you're doing? Or arguably, could you say, well, as long as you do it, what's the difference whether you know why you're doing it? So those are some of the different approaches that we will be looking at. And if you join me, it will be my pleasure again to keep your company. So with that, is there anybody here who's going to make some announcement about what the Torah in Motion schedule is for the next day or two? I guess not. But I'm sure that the schedule is as it usually is with Rabbi Kelman or whoever else is going to provide whatever remains before Pesach, sometime between now and Friday evening. And with that, I will leave you all. And again, Chag Sameach.